Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 84th chapter, the sage's teachings at Kurukshetra, texts 31, 32, and 33. Sanikarsho atra martyanam anadarana karanam gangam hitva yathanyambas tatratyo yati shuddhaye sanikarshotra martyanam anadarana karanam gangam hitva yathanyambas tatratyo yati shuddhaye sanikarshotra martyanam anadaranakaranam gangam hitva yathanyambas tatratyo yati shuddhaye. Ladies, sanikarshaha, proximity, atra, here, in this world, martyanam, for mortals, anadarana, of disregard, karanam, a cause, gangam, the water of the Ganges, hitva, leaving, yata, as, anya, other, ambaho, to water, tatratyaha, one who lives near it, yati, goes, shuddhaye, for purification. Translation. In this world, familiarity breeds contempt. For example, one who lives on the bank of the Ganges might travel to some other body of water to be purified. Texts 32 and 33. Yasyanubhuti kalena layotpati adinasyavai svato nyasmach chagunato na kutaschana rishyati tanklesha karma paripaka guna pravahair avyahatanu bhavam ishvaram advitiyam prana dibisva vibhavairu pagudamanya Manyeta suryam iva mega himo paragai. The Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, by the creation and destruction of the universe, by changes in its own qualities, or by anything else, whether self-caused or external. But although the consciousness of the personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme One without a second, is never affected by material distress, by the reactions of material work, or by the constant flow of nature's modes, ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by His own creations of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse. Purport: things of this world are inevitably destroyed by one means or another. Time itself causes the eventual decay of every created being. A fruit, for instance, which may grow ripe, but then must either rot or be eaten. Some things, like lightning, destroy themselves as soon as they are manifested, while others are destroyed suddenly by external agents, as a clay pot is by a hammer. Even in living bodies and other things whose existence continues for some time, there is a constant flux of various qualities that are destroyed and replaced by others. In contrast to all of this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's awareness is never disrupted by anything. Only out of ignorance could one imagine Him to be an ordinary human being, subject to material conditions. Mortal beings are covered by their entanglement in fruitive activities and their consequent happiness and distress, but the Supreme Lord cannot be covered by what are in fact His own expansions. Analogously, the immense sun is the source of the relatively insignificant phenomena of clouds, snow, and eclipses, and so it cannot be covered by them, though the ordinary observer may think that it is so. Om Jnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Mayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Can somebody move this? Thank you. So with the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially Harisori Prabhu. Very good to see you here. This is a very interesting section of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages had spoken, and they were about to leave. And Vasudev, being anxious, very eager to hear more from them, he puts forward a seemingly basic, a seemingly very common type of inquiry. Very unusual, one would say, for a person of his stature. And Narad Muni responds to that by kind of chastising him, by kind of giving him a chiding, an admonishment. So Gauranga Prabhu beautifully spoke about many topics, and so we just try to pick up the pieces that were left around and work around it so as not to say the same things that he already elaborated upon. Vishwanath Chakravartipad, he explains that Narad Muni was concerned about the audience. There was many Munis, many Rishis, many Yogis, and they were not on the level of Prema. If you examine the entire environment that was present there, Krishna was there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Yadus were there, the Rishnis were there, the sages were there, so many people were there, but how many of them understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And of those who appreciated Krishna's greatness, how many of them were actually in a loving relationship with Him? So when Vasudev kind of put forward this very simple question, asking about what are the reactions of one's work and how can they be counteracted by further work. This sounds like karma. Karma and how to get atonement for our deeds. So Narad Muni was concerned about the audience who would not appreciate Krishna appropriately. So he goes on to chastise mildly Vasudev by just calling him, you know, you're like a person who is living on the Ganges, but actually, you know, you go to some other holy place to take bath. You have the greatest fortune, but you're not aware of it, and you're looking for answers somewhere else. But he does that knowing fully well that by glorifying Krishna, by giving praise of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev's respect for Krishna will increase, and thus his loving parental feeling might decrease. But knowing fully well that prema is so powerful that his respect and awe and reverence will again be covered over by prema, Narada Muni took that chance. And for the benefit of the audience, he glorified Krishna. He spoke about his exalted qualities, as we're hearing in these verses. So he is praising the Lord, who is the source of everything. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the source of everything. And in fact, just with a portion of his portion, all the universes emanate from Him, and they again get sucked up, destroyed into Him. Such is His power, such is His potency. In the Bhagavad Gita, He says, on several occasions, time I am, and I'm the destroyer of all people, and I'm indispensable time, and so many aspects of time are different vibhutis, qualities of His potency. People are saying God is great, right? In every religion, that is a fact, that is a proclamation. But when you ask them, well, how great is God? Can you give me some estimation of His greatness? Very often they lack for words. But a person who studies the Vedic literatures knows very exact, very precisely about God's greatness, how He creates, maintains, and destroys, how He is the source and the substance, the otam and protam. He is the basis of everything that we see existing. There's so many verses in the Upanishads, so many verses in the Vedic literatures which give evidence to that. Devotees are appreciative, but at the same time, they want to know, okay, God is great, but I want to know, does He care? We may know some wealthy people, some powerful people, some very famous people. That's okay. But what we really want to know is, do they care? Right? Like, okay, he's a big CEO, he's made billions. But does he care about people in general? Does he care about you and me? That is the question that is on people's minds. So just simply knowing about God's greatness without knowing His all-merciful, His all-kind, His all-compassionate nature is incomplete and insufficient. So we know from Krishna's pastimes and from his activities about his greatness. One time in Dwarka, an enemy was attacking with 11 Akshahinis, and Krishna, with 3 arrows, he wiped out the entire army. Just 3 arrows, he wiped out 11 Akshahinis of men. So powerful is he. But when we hear how Krishna became the chariot driver, the charioteer of Arjuna, Parthasarathi, that really touches our heart, right? We hear, okay, 3 arrows, 11 Akshahinis. All right, that's nice. But Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot? Sometimes Krishna and Arjuna would lay down on a bed together because they sat together, they ate together, they rested together. Sometimes Arjuna would rest his head on Krishna's chest or on Krishna's stomach and take a nap. That was the extent of their friendship. Now, as it is explained here, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. But that can take place because of different reasons. For ordinary people, for common people, it takes place because of a lack of respect, a lack of appreciation, and a lack of knowledge. But for devotees, this familiarity that breeds contempt may sometimes be because of prema. Because they get so overwhelmed by loving feelings of intense devotional absorption in being fully absorbed in that friendly ras, or in that ras of parental affection or conjugal love, that all knowledge of Krishna's greatness, of Krishna's opulence, of Krishna's uniqueness is completely covered. So this is different. Otherwise, when we hear here, we ask, why is Narad Muni chastising Vasudev? Vasudev is one of the most advanced. He's Krishna's father. How can you speak like that? But Narad Muni knows fully well that Vasudev is in prema, but the common people cannot appreciate. They cannot understand that. So he's giving instructions for the benefit of the common people. The true greatness of a person is estimated in how they respond to difficult circumstances. Vasudev did not object. He did not speak up. He did not retaliate. He did not say, excuse me, you're making a mistake here. Don't you know who I am? You know, I'm Krishna's father. I grew him up. I took care of him. He simply took it with a smile. And that shows his real understanding, that shows his Vaishnava qualities and his greatness. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sadava sadubhushanaha. There's so many ornaments, so many beautiful qualities of a Vaishnava, but the first one is tolerance. Now when we say, okay, I'm very tolerant, I'm taking the local train, or I'm tolerating the rain, or I'm tolerating myself, or I live in a brahmachari ashram, that's not really tolerance. That just means I can't change it, so I just have to live with it. So I just learn how to somehow go on. Tolerance means we have a choice. There are options. But we're not even considering those options, because our only option is what will please Krishna. What will actually satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, and he says, whatever difficulties, whatever trouble that comes in the execution of my devotional service, that will be my joy, that will be my pleasure, that will be my ecstasy. Why? Not because he's a masochist, not because he likes trouble, but because he knows this is just a side product of my service to Krishna and of my pleasing Krishna. And if it means that I have to take some little inconvenience, so be it. That is what we call in French la pièce de résistance. It's called the piece of resistance. Just like, to give you an example, in cooking. What is the actual acid test whether somebody is a good cook? Dal, right? In India. In Italy, it's pasta. If you want to know whether somebody knows their stuff, you say, okay, you make dal. All right? And then you know whether this person knows to cook or not. This is la pièce de résistance. This is where you test. It's the acid test. So for a devotee, what is the la pièce de résistance? What is our test to see whether we are actually making advancement? How tolerant am I? Am I becoming slightly intolerant? Is my mind growing slightly impatient, slightly wary, slightly critical? Or am I seeing Krishna, and I'm seeing Krishna's pleasure, and I'm seeing Krishna's devotees in the center of my attention? Now, fools, common people, they cannot understand the greatness of the Lord. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam. They always will deride the Lord. They always think in terms of anthropomorphism. They look at their own defects and they project them on God. I'm in trouble, so God must be in trouble. I'm in difficulty, I'm in pain, so God must be in difficulty. He must be in pain. Otherwise, why would He put all of us in such a miserable situation, right? So that is the mentality of fools and rascals. They take their own disqualifications and they project them on God. And they say it's all His fault. And anything good that happens on the planet, it's because of our greatness, of our endeavor, and of our great scientific achievement. Isn't that pretty much summing up the modern credo, the modern kind of mindset and mentality? So fools will never understand the Lord because of their enviousness, because of their small-mindedness. Therefore they're called mudas, fools or asses. The ass is not a very intelligent creature. It's carrying loads, heaps of clothes for the washermen, simply to be beaten and kicked. Not very intelligent proposal. So, but Krishna, He has given them their place, their space, their time of the day. But Krishna is so kind, He's so merciful, that He tolerates even such kinds of classes of people, and He gives them opportunities in this world to try to act out their foolish propensities. But Krishna is also so merciful and so kind that He appears in this world in different manifestations in order to benefit the conditioned souls, the living entities who are suffering because of their amnesia, because of their forgetfulness. We know that from the Bhagavatam, when Indra was in his court and Brihaspati entered, he didn't pay any attention. He knew, this is my guru, and I'm supposed to get up, and I'm supposed to acknowledge him, and at least, you know, show my respects. But he did nothing of that, because he thought, it's just another day at the office. It's just another usual day. And yeah, here comes Brihaspati, he's my guru, but he comes here every day. And plus, I'm kind of maintaining him, so, you know, it's okay. He has his place, but I have my place, and now is my time. So, because of that, many kind of terrible and tragic events happened, as we know, as we go through the story, simply because of negligence. So sometimes, familiarity breeds contempt doesn't mean because of what we do. Sometimes it's because of what we don't do. We don't get up. We don't show respect. We don't know how to act properly. At other times, it's because of what we say. Now we'll get to that in a minute. Now, one time I was walking in Mayapur with my spiritual master, and I just came out of a stretch of management, which can be a quite, interesting phase in a devotee's life. So I was kind of walking with him and we're talking and sharing ideas. So I got a little carried away. I felt a little confident and I got a little familiar. So I was starting to use flowery language. You know what it means, flowery language? You use a few more adjectives than you should. Like sometimes writers, they have to cut down. Instead of putting three different adjectives or verbs, they have to reduce it to the proper one and leave out the others. Otherwise, it's too flowery. It's too rich. And you can make mistakes. And then Raza Bas occurs. So I used the word malicious to describe certain people and certain events that had happened. And he admonished me, he stopped me and said, "You do never use that word for Vaishnavs. Because malicious means with the intent to harm. And a Vaishnav is never malicious." So I was like, okay, I got it. Point noted. So sometimes we are in a situation where we become over-familiar, overconfident, and we start to move our hands and move our tongue and do or say things that later on we might regret. But this may also happen because of prema. Just like Jagadananda Pandit. He was so much in love with Lord Chaitanya. And he was so much enamored by him that anything and anyone that seemed or deemed slightly critical to Mahaprabhu would invoke his anger, his passionate response. Like when Sanatana Goswami was wearing that red cloth and he asked him, "Who did you get it from?" And he said, "Such and such, Swami." And he picked up a pot and was ready to hit him because he thought, "What? You're one of the prime followers and disciples and intimate associates of Mahaprabhu and you wearing some other Swami's cloth on your head? I don't want to see that." And he just sprung into a rage. At another time, he kind of instructed Sanatana and told him, "Why don't you go to Vrindavan? You know, if this place here is not suitable for you and there's trouble because Mahaprabhu is embracing you and you got this disease." And so he kind of gave him this instruction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rebuked him. He said, "Jaga, you're just a little boy. Sanatana, he's your spiritual master. He's your very, very senior person." So these exchanges can happen either on a platform of prema or on a platform of mundane, ordinary dealings. We spoke about time, and I'm conscious of time because time always kind of runs out. And then you leave out the stuff that you actually wanted to speak about. ISKCON just turned 50. And even though we know ISKCON is here to stay and is here for good, but from our perspective, 50 is kind of a hallmark. Because 50 is usually kind of halfway. It's the turning point. It's when in your life, and I can see amongst our audience, many of you are kind of getting there or kind of already slightly over it. So 50 kind of means it's time to sober up. It's time to get real. It's time to stop playing games and put the toys on the shelf. So even though 50 is a time for celebration, and there's a lot of celebration this year, because by the efforts of the devotees and of Srila Prabhupada, about whom I'm going to speak in just a minute, we have scores of devotees around the world. More than half a billion, about 520 million books have been distributed. There's more than 650 temples all over the world. There's a lot of reason to celebrate, to rejoice, and to have a grand festival. But as one smart person said, never let a crisis go for waste. 50 is also the time to introspect and to look into our own personal lives and collectively as a society, as an organization. Okay, what worked well, but also what didn't work so well? And where is there room for improvement? For those of us who have been around for a while, we saw the days of youthful exuberance. We saw the days of venture capital spiritualism, where the sky was the limit and it was divide and conquer. Let's go out and paint the world with the Hare Krishna mantra. And there are no rules, and there are no laws, and there are no reasons, because we are right and you are wrong, and we're going to prove it to you. But when you go 50, you can't operate like that. Because when a little child comes running into the room, screaming, yelling, everybody goes, okay, you know, it's all right. He's a kid. It's okay. When a teenager comes and says, you know, give me more, give me stuff, it's okay. He's a teenager. Yeah? Then when a young adolescent makes kind of silly mistakes, you're okay. You know, he's just trying stuff out. He's just trying to get his bearings on life and find his own niche, his own place in the world. But when a 50-year-old does that, you go like, whoa, who's his dad? Like, you know, who is he with? Whose kid is that? You know, you're not supposed to act like that when you're 50. So it's kind of time to sober up. And that's why we're having this little discussion here. Because in our own lives, individually and collectively, we can see that there have been different phases and there have been different stages of development. Now, speaking about tolerance, when you see how Srila Prabhupada left... Now, so many people may say so many things. Some people may say, he's a Shakti Veshavatar, Nitya Siddha, he came from the spiritual world. That's okay. I can respect that. But I want to know about the Prabhupada who cared. I want to know about the Prabhupada who left Vrindavan, who was wandering the streets of New York, not knowing whether he had enough money to buy bananas and farina and butter. That's the Prabhupada that I want to hear about. Yes, Krishna is also Kshirodaka Shai Vishnu. And he breathes out and in the universes, and he does so many great things. But I want to know about that Lord who cares for me and for all of you. In the same way, Prabhupada has done so many great deeds, and he's of such a stature that it's very difficult to comprehend for a small, limited person like myself. But my heart becomes touched when I hear about the Prabhupada who waited in line for the bathroom with his disciples, who cleaned up after his disciples, saying, well, it's a different culture here, you know. Maybe it will take them some time to pick on. I'm not sure how long it will take, but however long it takes, I will keep on doing my part. I want to hear about the Prabhupada who went out to visit his disciples who were sick in the hospital, who encouraged his disciples. I want to hear about that Prabhupada. I also want to hear about the Prabhupada who severely chastised some of his leaders who got contaminated by Mayavad philosophy and publicized that he was God, or who went against him and canceled his Juhu project, or did so many things, and then later on reinstated them and brought them back to their full service potential and to their full glory. I want to hear about that Prabhupada. So the greatness is great, but the sweetness is more sweet. And as you know, maduram maduram, maduradipate. People want to know, okay, your God is great, fine. We heard that a few times in different cultures. But I want to know, does he care? And I want to know, does he care about me? And how do you know that Prabhupada cares? For the most of us, we can say, we lament, we miss them. But when you meet his teachings, when you meet his disciples, when you meet a person who has been touched and who cares because somebody cared for him or her, then you know it's not just a nice story. It's not just PR. It's not just some, you know, marketing gag. But it's actual real. It's actual substance. When you meet persons whose lives have been transformed permanently, whose consciousness has been altered to such an extent that they left their own home country, they went to the other side of the globe. Prabhupada told Burijan Prabhu, you just sit in Hong Kong and chant Hare Krishna. And if that's all you can do, you stay there and you chant Hare Krishna. Because I want to know that Burijan is sitting in Hong Kong chanting Hare Krishna. And because he did that, a lot of realization, a lot of depth, a lot of substance, a lot of taste. Shushuru shro shradadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi sanmahat sevayo viprapunyatirta nisevanat. And then Srinivasa Katha Krishna and so on. This beautiful passage of verses in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shushushro shradadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi. Who are we speaking about here? This is Vasudev and Narad Muni, right? This is the Vasudev, who is the father of Vasudev. And why was he Shushushro Shradadhanasya? Because he was Vasudeva Kataruchi. He had ruchi, taste, eagerness to hear about Krishna. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada says that the first sign of advancement in spiritual life, you want to know what that first sign is? Whether we're making spiritual advancement? We can see it, we can measure it by our eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. How eager am I to hear Krishna Katha? That is the way we can actually see whether we're making spiritual advancement. And Chakravarti Pat says that it is only by that eagerness that we develop taste. If we're not eager, there's no taste. Like if you're not really hungry, there is usually not much taste. But if you're very eager, then even though you may have something very ordinary, but it's very delicious, it's very tasty. So, how to develop that eagerness? That comes by associating with devotees who are eager, who have that taste. And by associating with them, that quality of eagerness will rub off on us. It will actually affect us in a very visceral, means a very massive, a very major way, that we will also develop that taste and that eagerness to hear about Krishna. Lord Brahma is glorifying the Lord in the third canto, and he says, Yetu tvadiya charanambu chakosha gandam jagranti karna visharai shruti vatanitam bhaktya grihita charana paraya chatesham napaishinata ridayam buruhut swapungsam. O Master, you do not give up the lotus hearts of your devotees who smell through their ears the fragrance of your lotus butt feet brought by the wind of the Vedas and take your lotus feet as the greatest treasure through prema bhakti. Now how beautiful is that? That's out of this world. That's spectacular. Do you want to hear it again? Thank you. O Master, you do not give up the lotus hearts of your devotees. Lotus hearts of your devotees. Who smell through the ears the fragrance of your lotus butt feet brought by the wind of the Vedas. And take your lotus feet as the greatest treasure through prema bhakti. That is why we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. That is why we're studying the Bhaktivedanta purports every day. Because every day we will be actually experiencing these gems, these precious jewels, this very exquisite, very eloquent, very poetic descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and his loving relationship with his devotees. Now, Srila Prabhupada told us, boil the milk. That was in 72. That was, I'm sure you remember the time, the place, the circumstances, how it happened, and what was the events leading up to that event. But on several letters, and to several leaders, Prabhupada wrote, now you have to boil the milk. There was not many devotees. There was a couple of hundred devotees at that point in time. But Prabhupada said, now you have to boil the milk. Otherwise, if you add more and more, you will simply thin it, and the whole thing will become useless and wasted. So, to boil the milk is a conscientious and a constant effort. If you don't believe it, just go sometimes and watch how they're making all those milk sweets. Huh? How long can you be inattentive when you're boiling the milk? How long? A minute? 5 minutes? 30 seconds? No. Not a moment. You have to continuously keep on stirring it. Otherwise, if it burns, whole thing wasted. You get that smoky flavor, which is okay for some Chinese preparations, but not for milk sweets. So, we have to keep on stirring the pot. And how does that happen? That keep on stirring the pot? How does that happen? By voluntarily taking austerities. And that's why we are so fortunate. Because Srila Prabhupada gave us this Sankirtan movement. He gave us this process, not only of hearing and chanting, not only of remembering the Lord, but of actually going out and spreading this movement to all living entities. And that is what keeps on the heat. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 3rd chapter, 40th verse, the reason for the Lord's appearance is given. Kali yuge yuga dharma namera prachar tati lagi pitavarna chaitanya avatar. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord, in a yellow color, descended as Lord Chaitanya. Usually it says, Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name. Here it says, broadcast the holy name. To broadcast. It's a terminology that's used in farming. When the farmer puts the seeds on the field, he broadcasts it. He casts it very broadly, very widely. It was used for broadcasting network, for radio and TV. So when you go and you preach Krishna consciousness, you should broadcast the message of Mahaprabhu to all living entities. And so the more we do that, the more we will actually be able to appreciate the Lord's playful pastimes, the Lord's loving pastimes with His associates. Because we can see how His pastimes are going on even today as we speak. The Lord is always associated. Sangha Pangarsha Parshadam. The Lord is never alone. He's always surrounded by His assistants, His expansions, His associates, and His loving servants. So, when you engage in Harinam Sankirtan, in the broadcasting of the holy name of Krishna, this is Holy Name Week. So we're speaking about this because we're all making our plans because it's 50th year. It's half time for our vision. So we should make conscious plans. Okay. Half time is over. The game is tied. What will the next half bring? And what am I going to do to help broadcast the Holy Name? To help Srila Prabhupada, to help my spiritual master, to help the acharyas in their desire, in their difficulty. Mahaprabhu said, I've come heavily laden with so many fruits of the love of Godhead, but there are no customers, there are no buyers. So, I'm ready to give it for free. But even then people are not anxious to get it. So, a farmer cannot bring his stock back from the market to the farm because there is new stuff, new stock that already grew. He has to let it go. He has to give it out at any price. So Mahaprabhu is begging, he's asking, he's pleading. Okay, can you become a wholesaler? Can you become a distributor? Can you become an agent? Can you become a broker? Can you become a thief? Can you become anything? Even if you can't do nothing, just take some of this. Just hold it. And still people are refusing. People are very concerned about their connections. Huh? Oh, I know people, you know. I have friends in high places, right? And I have credit on my mobile phone. And it says 3G, right? Huh? But the devotee is not worried about 3G. Because we have 7G. In fact, we have 8G. What is that? Gaudiyas. We have the Vaishnavas. That is the first, foremost important. That is the access key to the other Gs. Then we have Guru and Gauranga. Huh? Without Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, no go. Nothing moves. Then, of course, there is Gopinath. And he is the most powerful, the most munificent, and the most merciful. And there is Gandharvika, Srimati Radharani, his loving counterpart. And they are assisted by the gopis. Lalita and Visakha, the chiefs. And we have Sri Gopal. So if people are talking about 2G, 3G, dial up, this, that, you know, we say we have, you want to have 8G? This is the place. This is where you can get the hookup, the connection. One time Vaisheshika Prabhu was distributing books in North America and he met one mullah from Afghanistan. So he was asking that mullah, so do you pray to God? And he said, yes, 5 times every day. And he asked Vaisheshika Prabhu, are you praying to God? And he said, yes, 16 times every day. So the mullah embraced him and he took the book. Because he got convinced. How? Not by philosophical argument, not by trying to tell him, you know, historically what happened here and there and this and that and the invasion and the conquering and, you know, and all that stuff. No, but because he saw somebody who cared, somebody who had humor, somebody who was humble. He got convinced by that. So people are ready to take to Krishna consciousness. But not on an intellectual, not on a argumentative, not on a, you know, we're doing better, we know it better than you. But they want to be convinced, how? By love and compassion. And that is the gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That is the gift that Srila Prabhupada came to give. And his compassion, his patience is seemingly endless. One time a devotee was criticizing another devotee. A temple president was writing about another devotee. And Prabhupada's reply to him was that as I am tolerating you, you have to tolerate this devotee. So, in the same way, when I introspect and I look into my heart, I have no good qualities. I was in a very precarious situation, in a very dangerous space in life. And I met devotees who cared for me and who saved me. And that's why I will take any trouble, any difficulty, any hardship as a joy in order to try to reciprocate and appreciate those devotees' sacrifices. And who did what and what happened 30 or 40 years ago? Let the historians decide about that. They will write those books. But let us worry about who today can appreciate the living Prabhupada, the eternal Prabhupada. Because that's the Prabhupada that I need today. Hare Krishna. Corrections. comments.
That was a wonderful class. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for being so patient and kind with me.